Lots of Rav Chanina. Okay, the Gemara story up to now is as follows. There's the three-way argument between Rav, Shmuel, and Rabbi Yochanan. What's the case over here? The case over here is a man comes to a woman and says, become a Kodeshes to me now. He gives her a ring. He says, become a Kodeshes to me now after 30 days. Okay? So normally it's not a problem. After 30 days, the Kedushin is valid. The problem over here is somebody came after 10 days and did Kedushin with her. Another guy. So the question is, who gets her? Now Rav says it's a doubt on both, so she needs a get from both of them. Unless if she wants to marry one, she gets a get from one and marries the other. But it's a doubtful, maybe both are Kedushin. Shmuel says no. Shmuel says it's a condition, I'll explain in a second, it's a condition, and therefore the first Kedushin is valid. The second is only valid until the 30-day period. Because then the first wasn't affected yet because of the condition. Right? But once 30 days come, the second guy goes fly a kite, and the first guy is good.
Why did he put 30 days in
that? That's what he said. You can't ask a question why people say crazy things. This is what the guy said. So the Gemara says like this. According to Rav, Rav's in doubt. Is it a Kedushin or changing the mind? Because maybe when he says now, after 30 days, maybe he means after 30 days and not now. So then, if it becomes effective only after 30 days, then the second guy who comes, he gets it because she's not a married woman yet. Or maybe it's a condition. Now, the concept of a condition is, retroactively, after 30 days is up, it goes back to the beginning. So that's what Rav doesn't know. So Rav says, it's neither. Okay? Shmuel says it's a condition. Okay? Now, Rabbi Yochanan, and this is what we're up to now, Rabbi Yochanan said a statement that even if 100 guys did it to her, she needs a get from all 100. They're all good. Why? So the last piece of Gemara that we learned last week was like this. When you build, this is the analogy that they explained according to Rabbi Yochanan. When you build a wall, okay, so you put a layer of bricks. Now the next layer, you don't put one brick on top of the next, because then the wall's going to fall. So what do? You stagger it, right? You put one brick over two, another brick over two, another brick over two. So he says, Rabbi Yochanan explained, the way they explain Rabbi Yochanan is the same thing by Kedushin. When a guy says now until 30 days, and the next guy says now until 29 days, and the other guy says now until 30 days, each Kedushin is overlapping the next, and therefore she is married to all 30, or 100, whatever it may be, and therefore she needs to get from everybody. Because the Gemara said like this, according to Rav, what happens, because Rav is in doubt whether it's a condition or changing his mind, right? So according to Rav, and this is how the Gemara got into Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, according to Rav, if a guy did from now until 20 days, and another guy did from one now until 10 days, and one guy did from now until 20 days, okay? So the Gemara said, according to Rav, it's only the first and the last is questionable. The middle guy for sure is not. Because it's either a condition or changing your mind. But the middle guy for sure is out. Right? So according to Rav, if more than two people did it like that, it would only be a question on the first and the last. But all the middle guys wouldn't be a question. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, even if 100 guys do it, it's effective on all 100. That's what the Gemara says. Okay. So this is where we're up to now. So Gemara says, Masav Rav Chanina. Rav Chanina asks a question on Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. It says, not by Kedushin, but by Get. If a guy says, if a man hands his wife a Get, and he says to her, the Get is from today after my death. He says, now after I die. So the Gemara says, get ve'ein a get. It's a get and not a get, meaning it's a doubtful get. Therefore, the imeis, if the guy does eventually die, so the din is, cheletzes v'lei misyabemes. She has to do chalitza, she cannot do yibum. Meaning, if the guy dies without kids, then normally the brother would either marry her or do chalitza. So in this case, he cannot marry her. I'll explain why in a second. And therefore, he has to do chalitza. What's the case over here like this? Obviously, dead people can't divorce. That's a given. If a man gives a get to his wife, and he says, this get is effective after I die, it's not a good get. Because then he's dead. Dead people can't divorce. Okay? So now, what did the guy say? Today, after I die. Now, so the Mishnah says, it is and it isn't a get. That means we don't know. What's the question? If it's a condition, that means when he dies, the condition is met. Then the get goes back retroactively when he gave it. If that's what it means. If he says, the get is today after I die. So if you're saying it means a condition, so after he dies, the condition is met, but it goes back retroactively. If you hold, he changed his mind, then it's not going to be a get, right? Because dead people can't divorce. So that's exactly what Rav says. So according to Rav, this thing would make sense. Because Rav said, we don't know if it's a condition or change of mind. Shmuel is also not going to be a problem. Because Shmuel said before, he holds a Rebbe, who argue on the Chachamim who agreed to Rav. Meaning, the Chachamim hold a Rav that we don't know if it's a condition or not. Rebbe says it's for sure a condition. So Shmuel holds like Rebbe, and Rav holds like the Chachamim. The question is, according to Rabbi Yechanan, it's a big problem. Because if he's leaving over, according to Rabbi Yechanan, what does it mean now after 30 days? He means now leaving over a little bit after 30 days. Now, according to Rabbi Yechanan, this for sure should not be a get. Because a get has to cut ties completely. It has to cut the relationship completely. If a get holds on in any way whatsoever, it's not a kosher get at all. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, that he holds, it starts now and finishes later, but later is after he dies, so for sure it's not a get. And the Mishnah says it's the get and not a get. So it's a question of Rabbi Yechon's opinion.
You can't use this question.
No, right. So the Gemara's question, the question's on the din of Rabbi Yechanan. Okay, so it sounds like this. Let's see it inside. So Bishlei Melarav. Oh, no, but one thing I didn't explain the din, though. So now, is it a get or is it not a get? If it's a get, she doesn't have to do Yibum because she's divorced. So if she's divorced, she's not a widow. If it's not a get, then she's a widow. Then she does need to do Yibum. But maybe it is a get. So therefore we tell you, you know what? You have to do Chalitza. You can't marry the guy, because maybe you're a divorcee, then you can't marry your brother-in-law. Right? But maybe it is a get. So to play it safe, you do Chalitza and no Yibum. So Gemara says like this, Bishle Mele Rav Messiah Lekonte Rav, this is Mamash proof. Because Rav says, we don't know if it's a condition or changing his mind, so therefore by get, it makes sense. It's a get and not a get. The Shmuel Nami, according to Shmuel, it also makes sense. Hamani Rabbanan, he goes according to the Chachamim, Vano Dami Krabi, and I hold the Krabi, like the Gemara said before. Ela Rabbi Yechanan, according to Rabbi Yechanan, it holds, Shiyura Havi, it's a leaving over. That means the get is starting now and leaving over until later. We know kol get the mishayabod leiklumhu. Any get that leaves over a little bit of the marriage is no good, because the Torah says, because of sefer krisus, it has to be cut off completely between the husband and the wife. If this is leaving over a little bit, it's not a get. So how can the Brisa say it's a get and not a get? Yivum Meyabim. Then it's definitely not a get. Then he should be able, she should be able to do Yibum. So Gemara says like this. Yibum is that he actually marries her. Chalitza is they took off the shoe and they spit in it. You know what the Pasuk says in the Chumash? Today we only do Chalitza. Today there's no Yibum. Okay, Amr Rava, so Rava tries to answer the question. He says, by get, it's a little bit different. Why? Get lahaitzi umisa lahaitzi. Get is to remove her from the marriage, and death removes her from the marriage. Mashashayir get, what the get leaves over, then the death leaves over, the death completes. Meaning like this. Rabbi Yechina holds, according to what Rav explains, even by get, it could begin and end after death. A get is supposed to cut you off completely. He says, the death also cuts you off completely. So the get and the death are both processes, the same, to terminate the marriage. So therefore, here, it could complement one another. So therefore, it's a doubt. Is it a get? Or is it not a get? Part of her is divorced. Part of her is widowed. Right? Yeah. That means the get divorces her but leaves over a little bit. That leaving over, death takes care of. Mm-hmm. But meanwhile, part of her is divorced. Right? I mean, that we find many places in Allah, that weird setup.
This period.
You have in the Gemara case, many places, half slave, half free. Half slave, half free. How could that be? Not a Jewish slave, a Goyish slave. Now, a Goyish slave is obligated in mitzvahs like a woman. And when he becomes free, he becomes a full-fledged Jew. Okay? So what happens if two partners own a slave, a Goyish slave, and one frees him? So now he's half slave, half free. So the Gemara says, so what do you do? So Beis Shammai says, one day he works, one day he's off. One day he works, one day he's off. Comes along Beis Hillel, and the Gemara is in Babasa. But comes along Beis Hillel, says, well, you can't do that. That's only good for the master. What is this guy going to do? The slave. He can't marry a slave because he's half free. He can't marry a regular Yiddish girl because he's half slave. So what do you want, to stay single? And the Torah says you have to get married. So they say you force the second master to free him. President forces him to free him. But first there's a din like this. This half eved, half free, okay, is obligated 50% like men, 50% like women. Yeah? Now, in biblical law, women don't have to hear shofar. Men do. Women don't. Today, women accept it upon themselves that they hear it. But halachically, it's a mitzvah connected to time. So, men have to do it, women don't have to do it. So now the question is, who blows shofar for this guy? So the thing is, he can't blow shofar even for himself. If he'd be a full slave, he could blow shofar for himself. But now that he's half free, he can't blow shofar for himself. Why? Because he is 50-50. When he blows, it's coming 50 from good, 50 from no good. So the slave half of him cannot blow for the free man of him. So he has to hear shofar from somebody else. He's not allowed to blow for himself. Now you have this concept, he's saying, the Gemara saying over here, she's divorced and widowed. You know, by the way, she couldn't marry a kohen because she's partially divorced.
Slave, you mean obligated to hear shofar?
Like women? No, they're not.
Yeah.
No. So therefore, when he blows, half the voice is coming from a non-obligated person. That means you blow a tekiya, half is good, half is no good.
Do they have to go through the conversion?
They go through, yeah.
They study the whole thing or not?
When you buy a Goyish slave, you give him a bris, he goes to mikveh, He becomes obligated in mitzvahs like a woman. When he becomes free, he becomes a full. He goes to mikveh again, full fledged Jew. Okay.
If they get the widow after expiration date, it's not widow. You cannot mix it together.
No, the Gemara is saying according to
expiration.
No, according to Rabbi Yechon, will be get veine get. She's half divorcee, half widowed.
This period between condition.
Oh, that condition between condition.
Yeah, between condition. What's the
it's
situation?
It's problematic.
What's condition?
The bigger question: what happens if she commits adultery? Okay. You can't kill her because you don't know what's going to be. Maybe she will be divorced retroactively, right? Or this didn't get veina get, yeah. What would be if the woman, before the guy died, committed adultery? He wouldn't be able to kill her. Because it's a doubt. Maybe it is a get. Maybe it's not a get. Maybe she's divorced, then she didn't commit adultery. Maybe she did. So, you know, it's a problem.
Thank you. Your son informed me.
Okay, no problem. Okay, so now the Gemara says, Amalei Abaye said to Rava, me dummy, what connection is this? You say get and death is the same thing, both are taking her out. So Abaye says to Rava, it's not true. Get and death are not two halves, because they're completely different. Why? Get, Meitzia Mishus Yibum, the get removes her from the Yibum's obligation. Because when she gets divorced, she doesn't have a mitzvah to do yibum. Right? Because she's divorced. Misa death, though, brings her into the shus yavam. You're right. Rava made a comparison. Death gets her out of the husband, and death both get her out of the husband. Abaye says, yeah, but there's still a difference. Get takes her out of yibum's obligation, and death brings her into yibum's obligation. So they're different. Ella Abaya Abaya said, okay, you know what? The reason is different. Hasan time am I, what's the reason that the Mishnah said? Really, the Abaya is going to say like this. According to Rabbi Yechanan, you could really do Yibum. It's not a get at all. It's not a get at all. Because what did the guy say? Today after I die. Right? That means it's get, but not still connected, and then so then it's not the get, because if the get is becoming effective after death, then it's no good. That people can divorce. But why does the Chacham say you cannot do Yibum, you have to do Chalitza? Because Gzeira Mishum HaYoyim Im Meisir is a get. Because if a guy says, and again, this is very technical, but it's very important, because depending on what the guy says, this is what matters. If a guy says the get is starting today, if I die, the first case that the Mishnah says is a guy says now after I die, not if. Today, after I die. But what happens if a guy says the get is effective today when I die? He adds the word when. When becomes a condition. So what would be in the case when the guy says today when I die? Then it's 100% get. Because once he dies, retroactively, the get is effective, he says clearly, from today. Right? After the condition of death is met.
What is it up here?
Then if she's divorced, she cannot do yibum. So if we're going to let this case, a guy says, today after I die, according to Rabbi Yehuda, really it's no get at all. And really she could do Yibum. But people are going to make a mistake if you're going to let this lady that says, when the husband says, now after I die, you're going to let her do Yibum. They're going to think that if a guy says to his wife, today after I die, when I die, they're also going to be able to do Yibum. And that's going to be a problem. Because then you can't do Yibum. because she's a divorced woman. So now the Gemara says like this. If that's the case, let's make a similar decree. The tachlitz, if that's the case, if a man says to the woman, now, if I die, I mean, not when I die, you say she could do yibum. No, make a thing that she should do chalitza. Why? Because of this case, the Gemara is working reverse now. Then say in the other case, she should also do chalitza, because maybe she's going to do yibum in the case when she's not allowed to do yibum. So Gemara says, over here we don't care, because really she could do yibum. Imata imechaletzes. Well, why? Because if you're going to say that she could do chalitza, Miss Yabemis, we're going to allow her to do yibum. So Gemara says, Oschanami, it's taken out a problem. Because imata imechaletzes, Miss Yabemis, what are you going to say? That she'll do yibum instead of chalitza? Let her! We just got through saying that according to Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yechanan, you could do yibum because it's not at all a kosher get. Because it gets becoming effective after he dies. Because Shashad Rabbanu is only rabbinic. Sigmar says the other way is not going to matter. Because what are you afraid of? She'll do yibum? Let her do yibum. She's allowed to do yibum. The Chacham said no, but out, according to Torah, she could do yibum. Okay, that's where this Gemara ends. Next mission is very simple. Ha'emeli Isha. Now the Gemara is going into what's called conditions. Okay? Now it's self-understood. Again, when a guy says expressions of Kedushin, you have to know exactly what he said and what he meant, and what he said is what he meant, and what he meant is what he said, and therefore if it's met, it's good, and if not, it's not good.
Isn't it easy to just ask the guy, what did you exactly mean?
What about asking the woman?
First of all, the answer to that question is as follows. What happens if the guy's not around?
Yeah, or is dead.
Or a bigger question is he now believed to what he said then?
Yeah.
You have that a lot of places throughout Shas. In Bezdin. Yeah, maybe he changed his mind.
He wants to put deposit.
I'll give you an example. The Gemara has a whole question. Two people, the storekeeper said, sold something to somebody. Okay? And two people say he sold it to me. Okay? So the question, who did he sell it to? So the Gemara asks, why do you ask the seller, who did he sell it to? Ask him, who did you sell it to? So the Gemara says, once the object is not in his hands anymore, he's not believed. He's not believed anymore. Maybe he changed his mind. Maybe he doesn't remember what he said. Especially by Kedushin, you're not going to be able to ask the guy. Because first of all, not only that what he meant, also in Gemara you have, by vows and a lot of other things, when a guy says something, we basically interpret it to mean what normal, average people mean. What does this expression mean by normal people?
Commonly understood.
Commonly understood. Okay? If he says, I meant different than everybody else, he's not necessarily believed. Gemara says many times the expression, you go achal loshin b'nei adam. You go after the expression of what people mean. Yeah, what does that mean? Okay, let's see the case. And this is very simple. If a man says to a woman, on the condition that I give you 200 zuz. Okay? This is what he says. So in other words, he gives her a pruta now. He has to give her something now for kedushin. He gives her a pruta or whatever, and he says, become mekudeshes to me on the condition I give you $200. So the din is, harezu mekudeshes, but vuhu yitin. When he gives it to her, the kedushin is valid. Now, again, we're going to have in the Gemara is going to discuss, from when is it effective? Okay? The guy says, he gives her a ring. He says, on the condition I give you $200. So Mishnah says, it's good when he gives her the $200. Now, when he gives her the $200, does it go back from the day one, or does it go from then?
So
what's the condition? Is erusin considered, or
there's all kedushin, only erusin? Yeah, it's not marriage. It's no marriage. It's only kedushin.
This is returning with day that you say.
But like the only thing marriage does in all these dinim that they can live together. But as far as her becoming an Ashes Ish, Kedushin doesn't. It's totally irrelevant to marriage. Marriage is just that they can live together.
He doesn't need to have a witness, and what if she disputes what he says? They don't ask any, and nowhere do they ask her opinion.
They don't ask her opinion. We'll see in the Gemara, sometimes they do what she wanted or what she didn't want, but of course this is in front of two witnesses, because if there's no witnesses, it is not a valid Kedushin if there's not in front of two. This is speaking, the Gemara is going back, it's a normal condition of Kedushin, but witnesses. Two witnesses, not related, kosher, Shema Shabbos, you know the words. But he makes a condition. Then he says like this, Amanas she'ete loch mikan v'ad l'migim. What happens if a guy gives it again, the same story, but he says to her, on the condition I give you $200 within 30 days. Nosan la b'teich shlei shemiyim, if he gives it to her within 30 days, mekudeshes, v'im lav eni mekudeshes.
Fair.
If he gives it to her on the 31st day,
no deal.
It's interesting, there's a whole Gemara in Gittin about this. What happens if the guy was coming... He was coming to give her the money, and somebody kidnapped him, or the horse died, all of a sudden a river came, he couldn't cross the river, the bridge broke, there was a traffic jam, whatever. The bottom line is, did he come? No. That's it. The condition was not met. Doesn't matter that he wanted to in a year. Bottom line, the condition met? Yes. Yeah? Not. That's it. No, but it's a condition. I'm going to give you $200 within 30 days.
That replaces nothing?
You didn't give me
it. Oh, because there's a condition attached to it.
If she wants to marry it after that,
makes it,
it's nothing to do with money. This is stomach condition. If a guy says, you jump off the roof, or I jump off the roof, or you go dance, or you go whatever, skiing. It doesn't matter what the condition is. When a condition is done, the condition must be met. For the same thing in buying and selling. If I sell you this table, yeah, and I make a condition that you walk around the block. You walk around the block, the deal is good. You don't walk around the block. It's not, any deal is like that.
The guy says, I'm going to bring you the money, but he doesn't show up. He sends an emissary with the money.
That's good.
So here the same. If he sends...
It would be the same, because the shliach is him.
After that, if they don't meet the condition, if they want to marry the children, they can't do that, huh?
Yeah, but then they have to redo the condition.
Redo the kedushin.
If the kedushin is not valid, there's no kedushin.
Okay, so they do a kedushin.
Yeah, obviously the Mishnah doesn't talk about that case. You have to do it again. We're speaking, she accepted kedushin from somebody else, or they changed their mind. You know, these crazy things that they need to get. Okay, another condition. A menashe yeshli masayim zuz. A guy says to a woman, "Ariat mekudeshesli," on the condition that I own 200 zuz. Hareizim mekudeshes. V'yashli, providing he has the $200 in the bank. What happens, he says, Amanasha arich masayim zuz, on the condition that I will show you 200 zuz, harezu mekadeshes, v'yirala, but he has to show it to her. Okay? She has to see it. Because what was the condition? That I will show you. She can't say, no, I trust you. No, that's not going to work. She has to actually see the money, because that's the condition. What happens? V'im hera l'shulchan, he showed him money on the table, meaning, like Rashi says, he is a money changer. So it's not his money. So then it's not a good kedushin. If a teller in the bank says to the woman, on the condition I show you $200. He shows her $200, but it's not his money. Obviously, even though he didn't say it, but the Gemara's, the Mishnah is making an assumption. What the woman understood was that he has to show her his money.
Right.
The first condition was he doesn't have to show her the money. He says, and the condition I have 200 zuz. Okay? So the Gemara says like this. Now the Mishnah's first case was a guy does kedusha with a woman, and the condition that he'll give her 200 zuz. So the Mishnah says, as long as he give it to the kedusha is good, right? So now the Gemara is going to discuss from when on is the kedusha valid, from now on or retroactively. So the Gemara says, Itmar Rav Huna says, v'hu yitein. Okay? As long as he gives it, it's retroactively valid. Okay? Rav Yehuda says no. Lech sheyitein. When he gives her the money, that's when the kedushin becomes effective. Not before.
So that means in that period, if she does something, adultery, nothing happens to her until she gives the money, and then she becomes adultery?
The Gemara is going to ask this question. What's the difference? We'll see in a second. Huh?
Didn't give him in time. No time.
No, the difference is that she accepted kedushin from somebody else.
I said, I gave you 200 event. 10 years, 2 years, 1 year, 30 days. There is no time here.
As long as until he gives it to her, she's not Mekadesh.
She's free.
Yeah, no.
It's free to my son.
But the problem is, let's say in a year from now he gives the money. And if you hold like Rav Huna, that it's retroactively good, that means the second, third guy's kedushin is no good. According to Rav Yehuda, that the kedushin becomes effective when you give the money. So if you didn't give the money for a year, and in the middle she accepted kedushin from somebody else, then she's married to the second guy, not to the first guy. Even though a year from now later he'll give her money, it's too late.
That's a proper way.
Well, Rav Huna disagrees with you. Rav Huna says it's retroactively. So Gemara says like this. Well, Gemara explains what's the difference. Rav Huna amar v'hu yitein because t'na hava. He says it's a condition. Mekayim t'na, whenever you fulfill the condition, but also then it's retroactively good. If I make a condition with you, you see, I am selling this on the condition. When the condition is met, it's retroactively sold. That's the concept of a condition. Rav Yehuda Amar, no. Rav Yehuda says, what did the guy mean? He didn't mean a condition. He means, I will give you the condition is effective when I give you the money. Not as a condition. If it's a condition, then when the condition is met, the condition goes back to the beginning. But here he's saying, according to Rav Yehuda, it means no. The man, what he's basically telling to the woman, is, I'm giving you the kedushin. When will it become effective? When I give you the money. And again, you can't ask him, and you can't ask her, because it doesn't matter. The question is, what does a normal person mean when he says that? What is meant by that? So Rav Huna says it means a condition. Rav Yehuda says, no, it means when I give it to you, that's when it becomes effective. And the Gemara says, my binayu, what's the difference between the two opinions? So we said it already. Ika binayu, sheposhti yoda v'kibla kedusha miyachir. If she, in between this time, she accepted kedusha from somebody else. Right? So the Rav Huna, according to Rav Huna, Le'avik kedusha, it's not a valid kedusha. Why? Because when she eventually gets it,
it's effective
backwards, retroactively. According to Rav Yehuda, it's a good kedusha because it's not effective. The kedusha is not effective until after she accepts the money. By then, she was already married.
So who do they go by? What do they need?
She'll need a get.
No.
Oh, you mean which opinion is right?
Prevail.
Rav Huna is right. It's a condition. Shulchan Aruch rules like Rav Huna that it's a condition.
A condition, they need a witness if they put a condition? Because it's not.
Yeah, because we need to make sure there was a condition. How do you know there was a condition?
Because if not.
If the condition is part of the condition, then just like the two witnesses need to see the condition, they need to see that also.
Yeah, they see the condition also, yeah?
I mean, you have to hear it. Yeah. Okay, then the Gemara says like this. But Tananam Gabi Gidden, we find by a get also the same scenario. What's the scenario? It says in a mission like this. Ha'emer li'isha, a man gives a woman a get. And he says, Areze Gitach, Amenasha Titnu Lima Saimsus. This is your get on the condition you give me $200. You know, she probably wanted the get, he probably didn't want to give it. So he gives her a get, he says, on condition you give me $200.
Oh, he sets the condition, that's it? Unilaterally? He can set the...
No. We learn, if a man gives a woman money for Kedushin, and when the woman accepts it, she says, this is on the condition that you go running around the block. Then it will also be a conditional Kedushin.
Both sides, they make condition.
Mm-hmm. They could. Today, by a get, they nullify any preconditions. Because it'd be a big problem. So when a person gives a get to his wife, part of the speech they make, that the rabbi tells them, the way they read it, they say, any conditions, any this, any stipulations, anything this, I'm nullifying it from now, completely null and void. That this get is being given conditionless.
And the local court.
Today we also don't, even by Kedushin, you don't find another chuppah guy says, oh, by the way, I am Kedushinly on the condition. I mean, if a guy asks a rabbi today, can I make, under the chuppah, can I do a Kedushin on the condition? They're going to tell him no.
The ketubah.
The ketubah also, they stopped.
That's prenuptial. Right?
Prenatural, right?
Not the prenuptial. Ketubah is not prenuptial.
I'll say, how do we do prenuptial?
With what?
When they get married. Nowadays.
Prenuptial for what? For the get?
Yeah.
No, for whatever.
Divorce. For the divorce. The wedding.
No, whatever.
Prenuptial is a very broad term. By Sfardim, they stopped it already even by the Sfardim. Ashkenazim never had this. The Sfardim made by a ksuba, they would add, you can add taste this ksuba. So they used to add, especially wealthy families, $1 million ksuba.
Right.
Yeah, $1 million ksuba. Okay. What happens? Now they're in love. 2 weeks later, they're killing each other. Right? So now the problem is, they're going to pay $1 million ksuba?
Yeah.
So the rabbis, even the Sephardic rabbis, as a rule, don't allow it anymore.
Not anymore.
They don't allow this anymore.
I remember the old days.
In the old days.
See, they negotiate very tough.
Okay. But the pearl, I was told that even today, the Sephardic rabbis, they don't allow it. Because you know what this makes? The only ones get rich by this are the lawyers.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody, you're not even a lawyer. And everybody else goes broke. Everybody else goes broke. So they don't let. Okay? Now, the prenuptial, what they try to make today, what many circles make, is that in case the husband refuses to give a get, so they fine him X amount of money per day.
And the courts uphold it.
Now it's different meaning.
The courts uphold it, but there's a big problem with the prenuptials. I mean, they changed.
10 years ago.
In New York, it was called the get law, and Rabbanim were against it because there's a din. If Bez Din forces you to give a get, like the Rambam says, you know, you beat him up until he says, I want to. But the Gemara says, get Musa Yidayakum, a get was forced by Goyim, is not a kosher get.
Oh, wow.
So, originally in the get law, there was a stipulation that if you don't give a get, okay, then the courts will force you to give the get.
That's how they get.
So that was a big problem. Now what they do is something else. They write in the prenuptial, which is a legal agreement and binding, you know, on the person, that every day after a Beis Din rules that you need to give a get, so then you find $1,000 a day, into whatever number it is. You see, $1,000 a day. That means if a guy messes around for a month, he's legally in court. But the court's not forcing you to give the get.
It's forcing him to give the money.
Forcing him to pay money. That a guy, the Goyishi court could do. So they don't force you. Originally they made it, and that was the whole fight in New York 20, 30 years ago about what was called the get law, it was called. Because many Rabbanim were opposed to it. How can the court force you to give a get? Right? According to Halacha, they don't do it today because the courts don't mix church and state, right? They don't mix religion. But if a guy would get a court order to give a get, it would be very questionable if the get's kosher. Because the court, if Goyim forcing you to give a get, you can't do it. So again, what they do today, they just do it money. You know, whatever month, $100 a day, $1,000, whatever, you know.
And
what?
I mean, the civil divorce first, though, right?
Well, the one thing has nothing to do with the next. What?
How about Buddhist or not?
Generally speaking, no.
What about law of the land?
I personally have a problem with it. It's like, when you're getting married, you're already thinking divorce. Yeah. I mean, it's like...
That's right. That's very bad. Yes, yes.
But many people... But many people, though, say, listen, there's so many men that refuse to give a get, and so many women that refuse to take the get, you know, we have to do something about it. So, it's, you know...
You on Facebook,
he married you.
He married the Oriental Shiksa, no?
Okay,
that's some people do, some people don't. I mean, that's the... In the modern Orthodox world, you should know, they make you sign a prenuptial.
Huh? You guys can go out
there. He's a Chabadnik.
Is he?
Yeah.
Or how do you end up marrying a non-Jew?
Who cares? Only he gives money.
Okay.
What?
Is somebody like, is the same thing that people write, if I have like so much money, is married, they want to get divorced, this money, I'm not touching that. It belongs to me. Is it good to do this or not?
Again, it's the same thing. Because what used to go on, and this went on in New York also for a long time, it still goes on. These non-honest men would marry a very rich girl, okay? And a week after the wedding, they would tell their father-in-law, who's a multi-millionaire, I'm not living with your daughter anymore. You want me to give her a get? $1 million, I'll give her a get. And if not, goodbye. She stays in Aguna, she can't remarry. Blackmail, push it. But they did lachatchila for that purpose.
Wow.
It's gun of them, right? The low lives. So they want to make a quick $1 million. Okay? So they date the rich girl. Okay? Yeah. And they fake all the stuff that they need to fake. Yeah, and they get married. And then the day, or it happens, or the day after the wedding, a week after the wedding, a month after the wedding, whatever. They say to the father-in-law, you know what? I'm leaving her. Young girl. You wanted to say stuck for the rest of her life? Good. You want me to give a get? Give me $1 million. What can they do?
Beijing could force him to give
a get. Well, in America, what can you do?
Right.
Beat him up, you'll end up in jail.
Not beat him up, but there's not
a... What?